this afternoon for the time that you have given us to be here. How you have impressed upon us so many different things, and we are grateful to you that you have spoken to us, you have used different men and women to do that, and you have reminded us, Father, that this is your work, that we live on this planet according to your gracious goodness. Father, that we have all been given time, and we so desire to be good stewards of that time we have. We pray that you might shine in what you have done and are doing through this session together, and I would ask that you might just encourage fellow brothers and fellow sisters to see that you can use them and to encourage them and to do a work for your glory. Oh God, we ask, raise up works in North America. New works, oh God. Grant us a burning love for the lost. Give us a vision for what is near and dear to your heart. And Father, we want to be careful in all that's said and done to acknowledge you in it all. Through your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 44, I'd like to read a couple of portions there. And I might just say that I have some handout sheets up here concerning the call of God. They are not detailed notes, but they are simply a guideline to push you along the way. We trust with the Spirit of God giving you direction, if indeed you are seeking and searching the Lord as to what he might have you do in this area. Regardless of whether or not it's actually involved in a planting of a New Testament assembly, or it's just knowing where the Lord wants you to be and what you should do. I feel that really the foundation of what we would share this afternoon just has to come from the Word of God. That's where we begin, and that's how God always works. I appreciated that film last night, and that dear brother just got in the book, and he waited on the Lord. And he waited for the Lord to confirm to him through the Scriptures what it was that he wanted him to do. And you know this, those of you that have been around a while and been searching for the Lord and in your life on a daily basis and seeking to walk with him, you know there's no authority like the Word of God. Because when you have the Word of God as your authority, you don't do this. You don't look over your shoulders and wonder, did I do the right thing? So, Psalm 44. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in the days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but then you planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies, and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we will boast all day long and praise your name forever. Selah. And really, that is the story of Little Rock, pure and simple. It is based basically upon the premise that there has just been a longing and a hungering and a deep desire to obey the Lord and to do what the Lord, we feel, wants done. I will tell you that we were under no organization. We didn't have any outside impetus. We didn't go with some sort of a big machine. Bobby and I asked the Lord that, could we see you do some works, Lord, in these days that we tend to call the latter days? Could we see you, Lord, do something in a fresh way for your glory and for the benefit of other people who are genuinely searching for you and want reality in their lives. So we just began to pray about it, and we prayed about it for many years. And I know that we're going to cover that in just a little bit about the importance of prayer as it relates to Little Rock. But we just kept that on our hearts constantly. Sometimes it was greater than at other times, but there was always that desire in our hearts before the Lord to pray about the work wherever it would be that God would direct. So don't lose heart if you've been praying about something and maybe you go for a year or 2 years or 3 years or 5 years or maybe 10 years. Just know that God probably has put that burden on your heart for a reason, and I can only echo what I believe other brethren have shared, that generally speaking, if the burden is on your heart and you're continuing to pray about it, it's a very strong probability that God wants to use you. And may I just tell you, and I won't get into this, those of you that know me, you've heard a little bit about this, listen, I am an average, plain vanilla, everyday sort of person. Sometimes people say, "Oh, John, had a few comments. Well, you gesticulate. We're going to come and see your faces and your arm movements and things like that." But really, I'm just a simple man. And there's not a lot of what I would consider to be a lot of pizzazz and a lot of hardware or software, whatever you want to call it. But God just delights to use anyone who will let Him have the glory because He wants to do the work. Now, I'm a little fired up, so forgive me if I seem a little zealous in one sense. Yet, on the other hand, I wouldn't be honest or right with you to come to this afternoon and hide what God has done, because He has truly done a miraculous work in our day and age. And it just humbles my heart every time God gives opportunity to think about it, what He has done and what He wishes to do. So it's not the people, necessarily. It's just availability. And that's what God has taught us. Are you available? That's really what He's looking for, is availability. Now, there are some other things, but we'll touch that. So we just ask the Lord, "Lord, would You do a work? And could we have the privilege to see it done? Would You let us, could we just look at it?" That's all I want. I just wanted to look at it. I didn't think I'd actually be able to be right alongside of it. I just wanted to look. I just wanted to see it. And the Lord has certainly done that, and I believe He desires to do it more. Frankly, I want to say that I don't, please understand, I have no desire to be flippant. I reject with all my heart the thinking it can't be done today. Because that tells me my God has had His arms tied. His arms are not tied. And He is able, and He wishes to do more than what we can comprehend sometimes. Well, let me give you just a brief update and synopsis. Can everybody see that all right? You have the handout, but I just think it's kind of good to have it up there too. The work, I know many of you, how many of you were at the outreach? So there are a few faithful troopers here. Thank you. We had such a great time. The Lord was certainly working in that outreach in a very sweet and precious way. I think all of us that were there, we sensed a very definite outpouring of the Spirit of God. There was a real hunger, a real genuine, consistent burden for the lost, and that worked itself out in a number of ways. The first initial 2 weeks, we went with brochures, radio advertisement, and in the newspapers, and I'll just show you a little bit of what we put in the newspaper as a flyer, and this was what we first advertised with. And we just put about 30,000 of these in areas that were going to be close to where we felt the Lord would have us to start a work. So we just targeted everything from downtown Little Rock and west, and we put these into newspapers. We also went around to stores, and we asked store owners if we could put this up in their windows and right on their front doors. Now, we would say, well, isn't that a little old-fashioned, and do people really notice those kinds of things? We had somebody that was out doing this one day and wanted to go in and put one of these in a storefront, and he said, could I put one in? And the guy was reading his paper, and he said, yeah, I already got one of these. I'll put one of them up. And people were just, you think sometimes they don't notice those kind of things. Let me tell you something. They look at this stuff, and it gets their attention, and we're still getting from time to time some interest just based upon these flyers that were put out in the newspaper. The term 1300 came to my mind because that's what it cost us to put those in the newspaper, and that's not a lot of money. And we had a lot of wonderful contacts that the Lord gave us, not only those that know the Lord, but also those that were lost that we had the privilege to share the gospel with. So it was just a real blessing from the Lord to see Him take and use some of these things. We also put this up, and we had a sing time downtown. I think if we had that to do over again, or if somebody else wanted to do that again, you might want to look a little further as far as planning. There were a lot of things going on down there in the downtown area. And we did have some opposition. We had some definite opposition that didn't favor us coming in and singing like that. I think they were thinking something else as far as a hymn sing. And when we started really singing the good old hymns and the good rock solid hymns, you know, the fur just started sticking up on the back of people's necks, and all of a sudden people didn't want to hear it. Not the general crowd, but I mean those that were in control of the area. So there were those that came alongside and helped us sing a little bit and ask questions, and there were many opportunities to share the gospel. We also did door-to-door work. There was a lot of opportunities in that. Many of you have seen the Seed Sowers packet. That's a John 3:16 packet. And in it comes a Seed Sowers manual, which is just a basic description of how to trust the Lord as Savior. And then we also gave them some material concerning the church. And if they had questions concerning anything that they wanted to ask, we gave them plenty of opportunities, telephone numbers and contacts. Also, there were clubs. We went to all sorts of areas of town to try to establish children's work. We had a group from North Carolina that came in and did a lot of works with puppets. So it was a tremendous gathering of the Lord's people from, I think, basically the eastern half of the U.S. and parts of Canada that came down and helped out. And from that, we saw probably about 1,000 contacts that we made. And in the first two weeks, we did everything we could to work through those contacts, and we reduced those to what we felt the Lord was saying were 100 genuine, sincere, honest seekers. And from that, then, we spent the rest of the summertime following up on those 100 people. Now, that we did follow up on the 1,000 as best we could, but somewhere along the line, you just had to make decisions and say, well, we'll try, and if we don't get a contact here, maybe we can come back a little bit later and try those. But the ones that were really serious, and sometimes they would indicate on either cards, or we'd have sheets of paper with people that had gone out and said, this person is really interested, this person's really hurting, this person's searching, and we followed up on those quite seriously. And then, after about 2 months, we came down to about 20 people that were really serious. And out of those 20 people are really probably the core group of who the Lord led us to as far as the nucleus of the meeting in Little Rock. So a tremendous, tremendous work. I guess you could say a tremendous net was cast out over the city of Little Rock where we were working. And a work, really, a day and late hours in the night work, and lots of telephone calls, and we had a lot of wackos calling, but we had a lot of serious people calling and wanting to know what we were about and what it was we were trying to do. From the Baptists, the conservative Baptists, said time and time again, this is so refreshing. This is the first time in 20 years that anybody sane and saved has knocked on my door and spoken to me about my need for Christ. 20 years. And yet, you know the old story, and I don't mean this to be in a labeling sense, but boy, there's a lot of other groups out there, and they're knocking, and they've got their briefcases, and they're all the time at the doors. Door-to-door work is not for everyone, but let's not throw away door-to-door work, especially if it's bathed in prayer, and God is taking us to people that are searching. They're out there. Well, we believe before the Lord, before we went down, we had I had a brother come up to me and tell me, he said, John, he said, I want to tell you an old Civil War story. And he just simply said this. He said, you know, Lee oftentimes committed his troops to a battle that he knew they were not going to win. And he said, his priority in it was to make a statement to the enemy that they had not laid down. They were still alert, still willing to fight, and they were still willing to make a charge. And he said several times Lee committed his men to charge a hill knowing that his men could not take it, but wanted a statement made to the enemy. And when I first thought about that, after the Lord began to make it very clear to us, he wanted us to go to Little Rock, I thought, oh boy, are we just going to go down there and charge a hill and say, you know, what's it all worth? Why did we come down here? But I really believe that in the heart, those that are willing to serve the Lord must also go willing to be expended. And you must understand in that sense, and this is where I fear, sometimes we fear failure. And I have this down on the outline a little bit later, and I'm jumping this a little bit. Cannot be afraid to fail. If we're afraid to fail, you know the rest of the story, we don't do anything. Now, there is a tremendous balance in waiting on the Lord and having His mind and having His leading. But sometimes we just need to say, Lord, I'm not going to be too terribly concerned. I want to see You do great things. We're asking You to do great things. But I just want to be available to whatever You have and desire that You do what You want to do. And if it's to see something get established here, we'll be thrilled. If it's not, we just want to be faithful to the commitment that You have here. And I like those people that I told you, those Baptists, we ran into other people that said, we are so glad You're here. We are so glad You're here spreading the gospel. So that in itself was, as far as I was concerned, enough. But we felt... And it was just my wife, and my two girls aren't here, so I can say this, bless their hearts, and they were in full agreement with it. It was just my wife and my two girls, and we decided we were going to remember the Lord in our home, and we weren't going to not just do that. And other people said, well, John, you ought to go somewhere else and get some feeding and some fellowship. And we certainly would have taken that into consideration if the Lord were leading, but we didn't feel the Lord was leading us to do that. And we probably had maybe one or two Sundays where we were just by ourselves. And right after, this was about the middle of June, and right after the middle of June, around the 1st of July, I don't know what happened. All I can say is that I know there were a tremendous amount of prayer going up. We knew the saints of God were praying for us. Doors just started opening up right and left with people. And, I mean, it was just incredible. And so our very first time, you know, you think, well, you know, the Lord's just going to come in and boom, you know, He's going to start a work and it's just going to be this great flood and great tide of a testimony. And our first meeting was a dear black lady who was blind. We thought she was Chinese. And another guy who... he was very leery of us because he thought we maybe were a little weird and a little cultic, and you know, we had these things on our heads, and not me, but my family did, and they were kind of wondering, well, what's this all about? And so he comes and we aren't ready, so he goes home, and I figured, oh well, he's gone. And but he comes back, and by that time I've gone and I've gotten this dear elderly black lady who doesn't she's not Chinese after all, but I thought she was, and here she is, and she can hardly sing, and she can't carry a tune, and he can't carry a tune, and we're in there, and we're singing, and you're thinking, oh, man, what a start, what a start. But, you know, the Lord just really took the word, and the Lord took that little tiny start of those two people there that day, and there were a few others. And from that time, and later on, the man who was there, Richard Vogan, said, I knew instantly, the minute I got there, that God was in that work, and I was tired of the phony baloney that I had been subjected to and had been part of for 25 years in Christianity. He said, I just wanted to meet with Jesus Christ and other believers who wanted to meet with Jesus Christ. And that just, you know, that was such a blessing. So we began right away. We started with the breaking of bread. We had a teaching time. We've just been very impressed in scriptures from our home assembly in Tulsa that the prayer meeting is probably outside of the remembrance meeting is one of the primo meetings of the assembly. Nothing gets done without it. And so we established a prayer meeting time in the Sunday evening. And then Wednesday night, we went outside of the context of the church and just started home outreach study. And an opportunity to bring people in and get them under the teaching of God's Word and encourage them. So that's pretty much how the Lord started the work as far as the meetings. We will have to say that, as some of you know, we met in our home and somebody turned us in and we had somewhat of a battle on our hands and they told us we were being unconstitutional and illegal and all those sorts of things and we couldn't meet there more than one time every 8 weeks and so on and so forth. And really we had more of a desire not to be a nuisance to our neighbors as much as it was maybe not to get in a conflict with the government. But the Lord led, and we found a place, a realtor building that we could meet in, and have met there ever since that time. Where we are now, I want to mention just a little bit about the Lord graciously supplied. Ultimately, it will probably be 5 acres. Right now it's 2, but I think 3 more will be attached to it, and a home that is vacated, and we have received permission from the city of Little Rock to occupy it as a church building, and if we bring it up to code. So we're in the process of getting that done now. Now, some of you that have received the emails will know this last fall, the enemy came in and tried to use that as a real wedge, and there were some problems there, but the Lord has answered prayer, and those problems have gone away, or at least have taken a very good turn. And there's some real maturity in that, and all I can say is that it's just been the Lord's people praying, and there's just a real heart to see that work go on. I would have to say that when you come in with a group of people that you don't know, you know as well as I that you have all differing levels of spirituality. And you have those that are very new in the faith, and we had those. And we had different individuals that were a bit skeptical about us, and they came, and yet the central thing that drew them was that time to remember the Lord. That was like a whole new revelation in Scripture. And I'm telling you what, it's just so refreshing to see people that have longed for reality, longed for genuine opportunity to be close to the Lord with the Lord's people and honor Him in that capacity, to see them really take hold and appreciate that time. Some of the sweetest meetings I've ever attended have been in Little Rock as far as remembering the Lord, and that's just because these individuals are coming in and they're seeing this and giving their hearts to the Lord in remembering Him. We also are seeing some fellows that we kind of had some question marks about. We probably still do. But they're coming along nicely, and they're beginning to get grounded. They're starting to get serious about the things of the Lord, and instead of looking for formulas and things that will make them more happy as Christians, they're beginning to understand the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ and drawing close to Him rather than religious systematic planning and programs that will give you what you feel you want to have in your Christian life. And then, Lord willing, again this year, We will continue with different areas that we believe the Lord would have us to reach out. We have a very strong burden to continue the radio program. We did have a radio program this summer a little bit. I did 3 1-minute radio spots. I don't want to sound like they were done as advertisement spots, but we just had a limited amount of money to work with, so I figured, well, let's just take what we can and give the gospel and give something on the church. And I tell you, I'm not ashamed to do that. I'm just not ashamed to encourage the saints of God to consider the beauty of meeting in a New Testament fashion. And so we put that on the radio, and the Lord is, I think He's encouraged us with that. We had quite a few good calls. We have a family now that's coming as a result of it. We've also been able to make contact with, well, how can I say it? They're not renegades, but they're in the area and didn't know there was a place where they could come and remember the Lord. So the Lord's allowed us to cross their paths. And from time to time, there's a couple that will come on a Sunday evening and spend some time with us, and I know they enjoy being with us. So the Lord is using that. We'd like to continue that. We'd also like to continue the flyers in the newspaper and do some more gospel work. And I can say that with a great deal of joy that there's a couple in our meeting that the Lord has brought along. We prayed earnestly that the Lord would bring some couples that were real stable, real consistent people, people that knew the book, knew the Lord, and were consistent. And so the Lord has done that. And He's brought a dear couple, just recently married. He's brought two very, very sturdy, solid Christian young ladies down. Some of you may know them. I think one is in here. I don't want to embarrass her, but she's in here, and the Lord is working. We think there's probably going to be one more couple potentially that will move in this spring who was there at the outreach, has a real heart for the work, and I know in the grace of God will be a blessing to that work there. I would like to just go through some of the things that we've learned. Just some of the things that the Lord has taught us. First, I can't tell you, those of you that have been praying, I cannot tell you enough how much we really have been carried on your prayers. I just want to stop and let you know with all my heart that, boy, when God's people pray, and they mean it, God works. I'm telling you, I'm just an average guy. But when God is sought, and His purposes are sought, and when souls are brought up before the throne, and God's people locked together in a united front and on a united purpose, I don't know what happened. I can't tell you why it works sometimes in other places and why it doesn't in other places. I just want to tell you that in Little Rock, God heard the prayers of His people. I believe they're still praying. We still sense it, and there's still a great work that's being done. And I want to stop and just say this. This has been a lesson to me personally, in a real sense, that we are a people in desperate need of prayer. Desperate need of praying. I mean really praying. Some of the sweetest times that God granted us in that outreach were times when, I mean, you saw some of the big guns in the prayer meeting weeping their hearts out over the lost. And I'm telling you, there were times when you wouldn't be out of some of those prayer meetings, hardly a dry eye coming out of those prayer meetings. And I know it was the same with the ladies. Just a real beseeching of the Lord that His glory be seen. So I want to say that with all my heart, prayer is, I don't want to be disrespectful because I know so many pray, but prayer is becoming less and less and less of a priority. And I think, frankly, we're seeing the results of it. There just isn't much done until we're on our knees before the throne of grace, really seeking the Lord. May I just say that to His glory? He really has done a great work in that place because of prayer. And it's going to
to take some real decisions before the Lord to continue in that. I told a couple, one of the Chinese couples that we were having a Bible study with one night, I just couldn't help it. I looked at him and I said, Zinjun, I said, you don't have any idea how many people are praying for your salvation. He stopped for a moment and he pulled back and he looked at me and then he said, and I can't quite say it the way he would because his accent is much more perfected than mine, but he says, so he said, we have many friends waiting for us, don't we? I said, yes, you do. And that touched that man's soul to know there were people he had never met before that knew his name and was praying for him. Now, Zinjun is still not saved, but his wife is Ning. Now, one of the things that we have really appreciated in this is the need for commitment. I know that we hear this. Some of you would know this man, some of you would not. John Chesney is an older brother in our meeting, or I would say our meeting in Tulsa, the home assembly where we've been commended from. But he's a dear old gospeler. If any of you know John Chesney, you know John is a gospeler. Man, that guy, I'm telling you what, he can preach the gospel. And you just love to sit under that man and hear the gospel preached. It's not lathered up. You know what I'm saying? It's not this... It's from the heart, empowered with the Spirit of God, and right on the money. And he came down and he said, John, he said, I've learned a lot in my life, but there's one thing I don't ever forget, and the lesson I will always tell young people to never, ever forget. He said, you can make a lot of mistakes. I know that we would know this in our minds, but I tell you what, when you get out on the battlefield and you have got everything coming at you from all different directions, you begin to realize that this is going to take a long-term work. Going to take a very consistent work. And part of that commitment is bound up into the four areas that are so essential to a healthy meeting and to healthy believers. And that's number one, discipleship. And I'm talking about consistent training. I'm talking about pulling alongside individuals consistently and training them. And getting alongside those individuals that are teachable and getting them in the scriptures and studying the scriptures, but not so much teaching them as much as it is encouraging them in the scriptures to practically put these things to use in their own life. Teaching is very important, and I want to put / preaching, but this is a lot of hard work, and it requires much study. I know we know this, but I tell you what, when you get into a responsibility that the Lord would put you in, you know that it just can't be something that's haphazard or slapped together. It's got to come from the Lord's exercise in a person's life and consistent, diligent work, pastoral work. Tremendous need. We tend to think that assemblies just, you know, boy, the Lord just, I guess this is the way I thought. I thought, well, you know, when you look at it in Acts, it just seems like the guys went there, they preached the gospel, and boom, church was there. God's people were there. All of a sudden, they were just doing everything they should do. Well, I don't know how it was like then, but I know today, most people have needs. I think that was pretty much the same back then, but there has to be some heart, some ability, some capacity in which those that are going to be part of that work have to know where their gifts are and be able to say, this is where we're going to plug in, we're going to work, and we're going to work together as a unit. So, and then obviously, evangelism, getting the gospel out and not being afraid to become aggressive with it and to seek whatever way God can use you to get the word out. And we've done it all, let me tell you. We've done everything, and we don't regret any of it. None of it. And we just know that these are the four real building blocks as far as a new work is concerned. And if they're not there, it isn't going to happen. And I'm thinking now in terms of what we've gone through and some of the things that we've looked at. We say, well, you know, we just not everybody's able to be full-time, John, like you, and just decide, well, you're going to pull up roots and go to some other place where there's never been a meeting before and start a work. And I would agree with that, but I would also say that we did not desire to go by ourselves. We never did. We just went in faith, trusting that God would bring somebody in time. And we prayed about it earnestly. We had the blessing of the elders. We had the blessing of the saints in Tulsa to go with us. But I want to say that this is we are so thankful for the ones that made a deliberate decision to give up what they had in their careers and move to Little Rock. And I want to encourage some of you young people, please. I don't want, and those of you that are elders in your meetings back home, I'm not trying to take away your great people or your essential people, but I just want to say to the young people, pray about it and realize that as you think about, sometimes we think about, well, you know, I want to go to a big meeting and I don't just want to be in the nice, you know, protected confines of a gigantic meeting and, oh, you know, that's where I'm. Sometimes the greatest growth will come when you'll be willing to say, Lord, take me a little bit out of my comfort zone. Put me in an area where it's obvious God is doing something, people are exercised, and I can be part of it, and I can grow, and I can be exercised, and you can use me. Those are things that I would just encourage those of you that are younger. I don't want to tell you how God's going to lead in your life. I just want to ask you to say, you know, maybe we could move to a smaller meeting somewhere and become an encouragement. Maybe we could go somewhere where They are seeking the glory of God. They want God honored. They want to move in the right direction and be a help. So we're very thankful for those. And I just want to again say, I wonder if the Spirit of God wouldn't be honored as God continues to direct and lead, however He does that, to raise up. And maybe it wouldn't be younger people. Man, we'd take anybody that will come. As I know, those of you that have been in smaller works, you would say the same thing. You'd echo the same thing. So we'd be glad for anybody to come. It's a great mission field. Let me tell you something. Foreign missions aren't going to have a leg to stand on if there's nothing at home. Now listen, I don't think we need to pull our foreign missionaries in and pull them off the field and say, let's concentrate on North America. I just feel we need to look around and say, hey, you know, it can be done. God will do it. If He is sought out and He is leading, He'll do the work. Financial needs, one of the things we learned quickly was the obvious, the printing of all these materials. We had to have chairs. We were doing ads. We had to pay rental for a facility, books. These are just some of the things you want to think about. Don't let them intimidate you. Just say, Lord, you know about them. There are things you need to think about. Those are things that we learned, and we're gracious or grateful to the Lord for His goodness to us in this area. I'd also say that if you're thinking about it, one of the things that we learned was we tried out the land quite a bit before we went there. We looked it over quite a bit. We asked people in the city of Little Rock lots of questions. We wanted to know where would be the most prime location for people in that area where they would feel comfortable coming. We didn't try to get into the trendy areas of town. We weren't looking necessarily for the upward mobile. We wanted to be careful that we didn't bypass the down and outers. We didn't want to leave anybody out. We wanted to be in a central location where we felt like everybody could come, regardless of where they were in the city. So we looked at that very carefully, and we thought of it in terms of the rental facility and asked those questions. Can everyone feel at a central location? We asked the most important question, where would be the greatest amount of exposure? And then here's the other thing. What about other assemblies? And I want to just say this. Our home assembly in Tulsa was absolutely instrumental in those early 6 months, because they just came down time after time. And let me tell you something, it was good to get a break. You know, sometimes you just feel like your gums are flapping and yapping all the time. You don't want to feel that way, but sometimes it's just refreshing to have somebody else come in and sit down and share the Word of God and to hear it from somebody else until the other gift gets raised up and they begin to operate as the Lord would have them do it. So think about that a little bit, about how close can you be to other assemblies that could come in and help. That, those are just practical things. That's what was really a help to us. We were close enough to where people could come in a short drive, 4 hours, and help us, and then they could get back for whatever they needed. Here's some of the things we found out were very interesting. Problem areas that we learned to be very much prepared for. Number one, would the first topic surprise you? No. Okay? Let me just say this. Jabe Nicholson did Ozark Family Camp about 3 years ago, and he covered the subject of head covering. I want him, this is my personal desire, I don't know whether the Lord's in this or not, I want him to get somebody to transcribe that tape and put it in a fresh booklet form. It is so precious, so relevant. And I told Jabe, Jabe said, all I'm going to do on this subject, I'm going to go to Scripture first, refresh my heart, go through the Scriptures first and make sure that I understand everything in Scripture in a fresh way and a fresh way to present it. But I said, I'm going to use your tape as an outline. I might even use some of your stories. And he said, it's not copyrighted. Use it. So I did. And we have, those of us that know her, we have one of the ladies in there. She's pretty, you know what I mean? I don't know how else to say it, but she's very forceful. And I thought, well, here we go. The lid will either come off on this one or she'll burn the door up going out the back. And she came right up after me afterwards, or, yeah, after me too, but I was running around the back there, and she came up and she said, I don't think I have ever heard that presented in such a Christ-honoring way in my entire life. The next Sunday, she drove up. I didn't notice it, but she had had one of the little round doilies, and she had folded it in half and had a hairpin stuck in. I didn't see it. And she got out of the car, and she walked up to the front door, and she looked at me with her big beaming smile. Knows what I'm wearing? And I couldn't see it. And I almost said, clothes? And then I went, oh, yeah, great. And she says, so wonderful. And she's been an encouragement, been a real encouragement. So it is an issue. I want to say this, especially for some of us younger ones, be careful about being real dogmatic with it. Be gracious. Stand the ground on Scripture. Say, this is what the Lord teaches, but please don't have a hammer and a nail in a head covering. Okay? This is such a beautiful thing. They're keepers of the glory. And it takes a while for the whole body of Scripture to start sinking in. I want to say this lovingly, we're spoiled in many ways. A lot of Christianity today, and this has been such a fresh thing for me, they don't understand these things. They don't see the unit of both the old and the new tying together in a systematic thread. They don't understand it. And so you just plod away teaching Sunday after Sunday, sometimes Wednesday after Wednesday, and all of a sudden, slowly, the lights start coming on, and they see the beauty. They see the whole of it, and they start arguing, they stop arguing, well, it's only mentioned one time in Scripture, and it's only here, and it's only under this circumstances, and so on. And all of a sudden, they begin to realize, we weren't making it an issue. Somebody said from one of the emails, boy, John, sounds like you're just making head covering the test of fellowship. And if you'd ask anybody in a meeting there, I spoke on it once. That's it. And there's maybe a few that are there that are not covered, but most all the ladies come and their heads are covered. So, it's just be careful. That's all I can say. That's one of the things. The other one is the woman's role, man's role. If you want to be real militant about it, boy, you can build a wall instantly, and you can have the heavy artillery out, and you can have a good old row if you want to. And I'm not saying we don't want to be firm about it. This is one area where, I'm pretty militant about it, but I also realize it's what the Lord says. And so you teach it. But you teach it with a gracious spirit. And you just teach it kindly. And you just say, listen, it's not going to be an issue here. So this is what we're going to teach. We believe this is what God would have us to do. We want you here. We love you. We want you to see the beauty of it. But we don't want to force it down your throats. And so these are some of the things. And in time, if they'll just bear with it and they realize you're not coming after them with tanks and bazookas and all these other things, that the beauty of it begins to sink in. And they realize it's not an issue of me, Tarzan, you, Jane, and I'm up here and you're down there and you can do this and I can't do that. It's a matter of God's order in the place. But you got to know the book. You got to know these issues. You got to know why you believe what you believe. The next area, and I want to... I want to say this right now. This is not essential
to the establishment of a local New Testament sermon.
It's not essential. So I have chosen to not make it an issue. When I say I've chosen to not make it an issue, I just don't discuss it. You know what I say? I say I'm a finite man. God is infinite. I cannot pull in the infinite into the context of a finite design. I'll burst. I believe God knows, God elects. I also believe God leaves man with a choice. And that's where I stop. But you have to be willing to be prepared to answer it and not be militant, not be... talons out and, let's go to battle, No. It's know what you believe, understand the scriptures, but I think this is an area I want to just say that I don't want this to become an issue. If it becomes an issue, then we'll pull that off the main platform and deal with it on a side issue. But that area doesn't help get a New Testament assembly established. Obviously, charismatic teaching, particularly in the South, is a real challenge. So if you're in the southern lower tiers of the U.S., it's going to be more of an issue than I would think it would be in the northern tier of the U.S. or maybe even in Canada. So be prepared. Know what it is. And then just real simple, the beauty of it all is obviously John 4:23. We're here to worship. That's the difference between the New Testament assembly and a lot of the different denominations. And I'm not saying they don't worship. I'm just saying that the key is to seek Christ, not men. So have those there. And then avoid isms. They don't understand these terms sometimes that we use. They just don't understand them. They don't know what a Plymouth Brethren is. They think it maybe is one of the cars that didn't make it in the Chrysler lineup. They don't know. They don't have the foggiest idea. They didn't read about Grant and Kelly and Darby and all of them. They didn't read about the big fallouts over there. They don't know. So it's just kind of hard. I have my ways and I say my thing. Just it's so refreshing just to come back to the Word and use what the Word uses. And to just be fresh and say, this is what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. And finally, one of the guys says, he just blurted out, he said, we just don't want to take any name other than Christian. Period. We're Christian. He says, and then the biggest question is, I don't know what to tell everybody. I don't know what to tell them what we're doing here. I don't know tell them who we are. And finally, one of the other ones spoke up and said, we're Christians. We love Jesus. We just want to gather to Christ. End of discussion. It's that simple. And that's what he's telling his friends. And his friends are looking at him like... But he's gotten several now of his friends to come. This one man I'm thinking of in particular. And both times those men have been richly blessed at just being able to see the Lord Jesus and nothing else. It's refreshing. So know those things. Those are areas of concern. Number two... Be prepared to work harder than you imagine. Yeah, that's all I can say. We went down there in May, and I I haven't rested since. But I don't want to rest. I mean, I want to do the right kind of resting, but it's wonderful. Just recognize that you're going to work harder than you ever dreamed if God puts you to it. But I'll tell you what, once you get in it and you understand the nature of it and you understand what the Lord's doing, you don't want to stop. Three, be flexible. Expect setbacks. I think sometimes we think if the Lord's in it, it's just going to move from one crescendo to the next in this ever upward motion and movement, and that was not always the case. There were times when there were just not very many people there. Things didn't go off very well, but the Lord brought great honor to His name, and people began to just continue to see that this was not about men. It was not about having a flashy presentation. It wasn't about systems. It wasn't that we tried to detract to become so unlike anything that you couldn't say, well, you know, there is an order here. But just a sense of being able to say, you know, Lord, this is your work. You're going to do what you want to do, and we're just going to wait on you to do it, but not to lose heart in it. There's times when in the meeting I'll sit there and there's a little bead of sweat on my front lip right up here. I'm thinking, is anybody going to be exercised this morning? Oh, Lord, you know, I'm thinking, John, you're not here to pray for other people to be exercised. Remember the Lord. Worship, and He'll do the rest. And He's done it. He's done it. Fourthly, guard against wrong attitudes and priorities. I mentioned this earlier. Please don't be afraid of failure. If God is prompting you, touching your heart, you can ask some of the ladies that, boy, they gave up some pretty secure surroundings and their friends, and they came to Little Rock, and didn't always go real swell for them when they first got there. We had a lot of lessons we had to learn, and I remember a missionary saying this to me one time. She said, the first term I went out, I was going to work for God. I came back home. I was a little tired, and I learned a lesson. The next time I went out, I was going to work with God. And then I came home, and I was terribly disillusioned after the second term until the Lord got a hold of me and broke me and allowed me to understand I'm going to let God work through me. And so that's how she went back the third time. And so oftentimes in a work like that, don't be surprised if the Lord is dealing with you personally, because it's a growing time, and He wants to grow you. So that's what we experienced. And we just also began to realize that we weren't there for ourselves. You may say, well, duh, but I mean, the flesh just moves with you. You know, you think he's going to stay in Tulsa, and the new man's going down to Little Rock, and whoa! But the flesh moved right along with us. And so in that sense, there was just a constant waking up and recommitting ourselves to the fact, you know, we wanted to maybe take a little break here, do a little something fun there. And the Lord gave us those opportunities in due time. But other areas, habits, things we used to do maybe or like to do, or things that we maybe did too much out of balance, all those things have to be kept in mind. As Paul said, I discipline my body, bring it in subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Let me just share with you a little story about how important this is. I know you know this, but I just want to share a story. We've never advertised our financial need. We've never had to. The Lord has just been faithful. Even when we first started out, the Lord was so gracious. And we just determined before the Lord, for our sakes, we didn't want to go into debt for a car. And we just decided we'll wait on the Lord, and if we need to save, we'll save. If the Lord chooses to provide, He'll provide. Well, He's done that several times in several different ways. And as we moved down there last year, we didn't know it, but we were asking the Lord to give us a different vehicle, i.e. the other vehicle we had was beyond hope. And so we prayed, and a brother up north of us gave us a van. And by this time, we had started this Bible study with this Chinese couple. And one day, the newer van was sitting in the driveway, and they looked at it, and they noticed it, but they never said anything. So about 3 or 4 months later, one of the ladies in the study, she said, "Where did you get your van?" And I said, "Oh, that's an interesting story." She says, "How did you get it?" And so I told her. I said, "Well, we just asked the Lord for it." And she looked at me and said, "What do you mean you asked the Lord?" I said, "Well, we prayed." She says, "Well, who did you tell?" I said, "We told the Lord." She says, "But who else?" I said, "We didn't say a word to anybody." And I said, and I didn't realize it, but a brother had been very exercised about giving this vehicle away and said the Lord had kept bringing us to his mind. And so he called us up and gave it to us. And she just looked at me like that. And you could tell she was struggling with believing it and accepting it or rejecting it. And about 4 months later, she came to us and she told us, she says, "John, we trusted the Lord as our Savior." And so I looked at her and I said, "Ning," I said, "so how did the Lord bring you to himself? How did he save you?" And she didn't say the same way that you got saved, but she looked at me and she said, "You know," says, "the fact that you were willing to wait on the Lord and that you prayed and he heard you and he supplied your need, that told me God was real." He said, "Everything we had studied, I didn't doubt, but I just wanted God to confirm how real he is." And so that's why I say the thing that God really refreshed for us in our hearts and our minds was, is our lives have got to be clean, and they've got to be vessels that can be opened so the Spirit of God can just pour through and touch other people's lives. The lost are ministered when they see the reality of the Lord Jesus working in our lives. It speaks to them. And that's what we have learned. So we would say that's something that we would learn and pass on. Challenge for North America, and I don't want to belittle this. Seek people as the Lord did. Again, the thing that the Lord has instructed us with is we reject the mentality that it can't be done today. I like Matthew 11:19. It says of the Lord Jesus, he was accused of being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But the scripture concludes on this statement, "But wisdom is justified of her children." And you would say, well, what is the real key? The key is without question that we would have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been taught and refreshed and encouraged with that this week. But it can't stop there. And we know that. We must let that channel on through. And if we have a genuine love for other people, that the Lord Jesus is emanating through our lives, other people just hardly can resist it. It's just hard to turn down genuine love and care. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. He was truthful, but people knew he cared for their souls. And that is the secret. Seek others as the Lord did. Love them. Be interested in them. Don't look glassy-eyed when you're talking to them. I've done this. "Hi, how's your day?" "Just fine." Let's say, you know, you're off and on. "Well, what's your problems?" "I don't want to hear it." You know, or "I do want to hear it." "What are you?" And there's all kinds of things. And we're not really looking, or we're not really involved. People want to have somebody they can just pour out their hearts to, and yet at the same time know that that person is going to be faithful to them in the Lord and have spiritual goals for them. That's, gang, this is new stuff. But boy, the Lord honors it in just simplicity and in a genuine heart to trust him. He just honors it. I love 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I can't tell you how many people said it won't happen. Don't do it. It's a different climate today. I would rather just say, well, I don't want to be foolish, and I want to say this, don't be foolish. Listen to godly men. If you have a concern about whether God's in something, I have an outline up here that hopefully will just be a help to you, that we've certainly appreciated these scriptures from the Lord. And then finally, don't give up. Don't give up. I'll close on this story, and then I'll leave it open for a few quick questions. Yes?
I just wanted to...
how the word begins.
Yeah.
But there's obviously a lot of before the scene work done here that brought people to Little Rock.
That's right.
Besides prayer and the obvious fundamentals.
That's right.
How administratively did this come to?
Well, I will say that I think some of the folks at Uplook and our home assembly got together and talked about how it could be done.
So if you saw an area that maybe a location, a geographical place, that I could see this happen, the first step, you know,
yeah. Yes, just ask people that have a heart. Uplook just simply would say, and I don't know whether it would be Uplook or Gospel Folio Press, but all they would wish to do is just be a help. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody is dictating to us on a national or really a local level what's going on in Little Rock. We're accountable to the believers and really the elders in Tulsa right now still. And we believe that's biblical. That's the way it ought to be. Had a lot of help.
I appreciate a lot of what you said. I guess from that areas of concern here where you were talking about some different doctrines.
Yeah.
Again, I appreciate a lot of what you said. I did have a concern in my mind, maybe I'm not understanding what you were saying. I could have thought maybe what you were saying was there were certain issues that you were almost running from. I didn't.
Oh, no. No, we don't. We didn't run from them. We just identified them and decided to meet them at the door. In other words, we decided we were not going to let these things not be dealt with. We were going to deal with them up front, but we were not going to deal with it in a public sense to where it became an open debate. We would nail it on an individual basis. And that just means spending time with those people and talking to them and asking them where they are and what they understand.
Do you aggressively go after resolving those issues?
Some, they're not ready yet to fully deal with it, and they don't want to talk about it right there, so we'll say, all right, when you're ready, let's talk about it. But most all those issues we dealt with right away. Yes?
Are you at a point where you've established elders in the gospel?
Yes. Basically, what we did was we waited on the Lord, and we let those men in the meeting that were going to do the work do it. And those that were qualified and were doing the work, they did the work, and in time, the flock just began to recognize they are the ones doing the work and desired to have godly oversight in the midst.